Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast, episode number 5.5, guys, because we had technical issues. So just to address it, I know I was being blamed for it, and you know what? I will take the sword for it, but it was not my fault. Honestly, I think we had so many organic user guys that we actually crashed Blog Talk, which would have been pretty cool. So we're coming at you live and unedited again. Now let's meet the host, Spidey, out of the red corner, the Maple Leaf himself, the only man who ever buys any Nickelback albums, Proteus.
Good evening, gentlemen. Late evening.
Follow him at Proados, and the man down south, the man that only goes to the Alamo on Sundays, the infamous instigator Joe from H-Town.
Good morning, fellas. I know Proteus is about to fall asleep, man, so we need, to get this show on the road here.
Follow him at JoeDaddy85 and me. I am the DJ back in the PJs, guys, at this hour, watching my mighty Warriors. Follow me at DJ Tony Radio. Guys, I think we did crash Blog Talk. I'm not joking. Thank God. Thanks to you guys, Junkie Nation. Yeah, thanks to you guys, Junkie Nation, for keeping us alive. Let me give the call-out number, 646-668-8160, 646-668-8160. Remember, we don't have Danny from Automatic 253, so we have to screen our own calls. So we'll place you on hold. We'll try not to keep you on too long. In the beginning of the show, the one episode 5 that never really went into fruition, guys, we spoke about the upcoming pending, I guess, UFC sale. The report of two bids coming in at $4.1 million, so we went into that. Great calls, by the way. We had some great calls from Buffalo Blue, from Jeff, just from Stevie B, who's on his honeymoon. Great calls. What we didn't get into, let's go what we didn't get into. We didn't get into Ill Will Brooks, guys. Ill Will Brooks coming to the UFC. Joe, what you got?
Yeah, man, it's pretty exciting. You know, Will's a dynamic fighter. He's a very athletic, very fast. I think he's got skills to take the belt, and it's interesting to see the process. You know, poor guy was put on the shelf by Bellator for a very long time, and, you know, luckily he got his release and lost all his leverage to maximize his contract. So, well, we'll see what happens, man. Yesterday, I believe, was the first day that he could sign a contract, and UFC scooped him up, man, so I'm pretty excited to see him fight.
Yeah, you know what? I feel good for Will Brooks. Now, the only thing that I don't feel good about him for is that he's going to need to prove himself. And unfortunately, we know that the UFC is the best proving ground. And I hope for his sake that he can do it, man. I hope that he can contend. I really do. I wish that him very well. And let's just see what he does. Ross Pearson, tough test.
Hey, guys, just out of curiosity, you know, they always talk about the disparity between, you know, UFC and Bellator and UFC and, you know, World Series and everyone else, RFA, you name it. But this will be a true telltale sign, right, guys? I mean, Ill Will Brooks, who was a fantastic champion for Bellator, and obviously there was a little bit of a rumor. I don't know if you guys have heard this, that Michael Venom Page is a little bit of a hard guy to handle as well. How do you think Ill Will Brooks, Joe, will do in the UFC?
I mean, he's got all talent in the world, man, and he's got the motivation. Yeah. The guy, you know, he's about to get married. He just had a kid, just bought a house, man. So he sounds like a hungry guy, you know. He sounds like a guy that wanted to jump ship out of Bellator to get out of that sinking ship and, you know, play with the big boys, man, and get the limelight and you know, the recognition that he probably didn't get in Bellator, man. So I think he's a prime-time player, man. I think he's ready.
Yeah, Joe, I think you're right. I think that definitely a good talent, a good place. He's definitely a good injection into that weight class.
going up against Ross Pearson, like Proteus said, it's going to be interesting, guys. It's going to be interesting what he does, how he does it, and hopefully he'll have a better introduction into the UFC than some of the other guys that we've seen. So, and unfortunately, the other way around too, right? Our guy Benson Henderson, not doing too well in an entry level. Keep in mind he was going up in weight. Guys, we went into Rory McDonald's, whereas the great Hal from Chicago would say Rory McDonald going up against on his last fight, possibly a free agent. We didn't get into going into Bisping, calling for Hendo Bisping too, guys. What say you, Joe?
You know what, man? Michael Bisping has, like we talked about this already, you know, he's been on a 10-year journey, ups and downs with his career, and he's the champ now, man, and he makes the calls. I'm not into the matchup, to be honest with you. You know, Hendo's on his way out. Good for him to get a title shot, but I'm not interested in the fight. But if that's what Bisping wants, then that's what he should get. You know, he's a champ. Let him make the calls.
We are not agreeing today, Joe. We are just not agreeing today. This fight is the biggest fight that they can make at that weight class. Why? Because it's going to make the most money. I say Jacare is number one contender. That's fine. But you know what? Jacare is not going to make as much money as Dan Henderson versus Bisping. Not even close. So,
you know,
and what a story. Wait, Joe, just a sec. What a story if Dan Henderson can knock out Michael Bisping again, win the championship, and then ride off into the sunset.
Wow. Wait, are you done over there?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, it's funny. If you rewind this episode of the of this podcast, you'll hear Proteus talk
What's
about...
the name of the podcast, brother? What's the name of the podcast? Do you remember?
Another nah. MMA cast.
There we go.
Coming at you.
Yes.
I'm on 10 podcasts myself, sir, so this is number 10 for me. But if you rewind the podcast, you'll hear Proteus talking about a different subject when he's talking about who deserves this, who deserves that, and now he wants the fight who's going to make the most money. I'm a little confused, Proteus.
Yeah, okay. So can you remember which it was, what I was talking about the first time? Can you remember?
You were talking about Rory McDonald and Benson Henderson and you know, which one would be a bigger contract. And you remember that?
Yeah, no, I remember. But what I was trying to say when we were talking about that is a completely different subject than what we're talking about now.
Okay. Wait.
Fire,
okay.
Fire. Oh. All right, guys. Let's move it. First, well, just to end on this one, I don't want to see Bisping Hendo too, but I do think that someone like Bisping, who can really promote, I think, any fight. I mean, he's no McGregor, but
Wait a second, Tony. Why don't you want to see it? We know why Joe doesn't want to see it. Why don't you want to see it?
Because these guys are far too close to my age bracket. That's why. I honestly, guys. I mean, listen. What did John McCarthy say? He said there's two things we don't want to see, right? And I forgot what it was, but one of the ones was older people having, sex. And as our guy would say,
hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
There are certain things we don't want to see. And listen, I love Hendo, but I don't want to see Bisping versus Hendo. Now,
Why not? Did you see his last performance?
He looked good, but he looked good for being 45, right? He didn't look good for being 25.
Okay. But he still looks good, right? He's not been knocked out. He's not Chuck Liddell. He's not slurring his words. Like, he's big money. He makes $800,000 a fight. He's big money. So if they're going to put him in another fight, this is exactly where they want to put him.
He can kick my ass. There's no doubt about it. But I just don't want to
see. There's that I'm not surprised, motherfuckers, again. Anyways,
all right,
next topic.
Let's move on, guys. We're getting old and ornery as it's getting a little later here. Hey, guys, something I never thought we'd see in my lifetime, Fedor possibly finally coming to the UFC, Joe. Are we dreaming or is this real?
Well, you know, Fedor has teased us for many, many years. But on this time, he doesn't have M1 Global behind him, backing him. So, I'm still not convinced. But Monday he did say he's closer now than ever to signing with UFC. And he fights tomorrow, I believe, tomorrow morning. I'm not 100% sure, against Fabio Maldonado. And they say if he wins tomorrow, he'll probably be in the UFC. But I'm not buying it. What about you, Proteus?
Yeah, I don't know, Joe. I heard him on the MMA Hour with Ariel, and even though is being translated, it seemed like it's a serious consideration. As you said, there's no M1 Global anymore. There's no co-promotion. It's just Fedor looking to make some money, and I think that's good for all of us. I mean, if we want to see Fedor fight again in the biggest organization in the world, this is what needs to happen, right? It's good for everybody, and I mean, I don't even care if they give him a can. Let's just see him in the UFC. Let's just see him in the Octagon, right? Am I wrong, Joe?
No, you're right. You're right. You know, I want to see him fight in the UFC. I've wanted to see him fight in the UFC for, you know, half a decade, you know, but we've been down this road before. I'm not going to buy it until it happens, so I'm just really not going to concern myself too much with his decision, whether he's going to go, whether he's going to come or not. I mean, I'll wait until he signs the contract and gets about announced.
What about you, Tony?
It does make sense, guys, because of that particular weight class. Seems to have older fighters, but here's the thing, guys. The first guy, I don't even know what his name was, something Singh, but he hasn't been fighting good competition. He's fighting somebody else now that's, let's just say, not of UFC quality now, but it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm not sure he can even be, you know, the great Frank Mir. I'm not sure that he's there yet, guys, in that competition. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's an older class, and it's a class that can accept people of my age bracket. So, we'll see how that comes up. Hey, another thing that I wanted to chat about, guys, and, you know, we're huge MMA junkie fans. All across the board, clearly MMA Junkie Radio and Dan Stuff and everything Junkie does. But I've been finding myself, guys, going to other websites, and I won't name them, because I don't like their new tab, guys. I don't like this the UFC or the rumors tab versus the news tab. Do you find yourselves doing anything, you know, anything like that? Because I find myself going to other sites now.
You know what, man? I really haven't been paying attention. You know, when I go to a website, I don't really, you know, click, hey, MMA Junkie. I view all my stories off of Twitter. And so when somebody tweets a story, I just click the link, and I don't really pay attention to the headline or the tabs or whatever. So I mainly just click the link and read the story, watch the video. I don't pay too much attention to the other stuff. How about you, Proteus?
Yeah, no, I think you've hit the nail right on the head there, Joe. I think most of us consume that way. I definitely consume that way. I just read what's going on. If it interests me, I click on it. Because Twitter is an awesome way to get information fast. I'm on MMA Junkie right now in front of me in my office, and I don't really have a problem with it. The only problem I have is there's no story about the UFC sale right now at the top of the page.
But it's not confirmed yet, guys, right, Joe? It's still a rumor at this point?
Yeah, pretty much. And I just wanted to ask you, Tony, like when you were a kid, like 50 years ago, how did you get the news? I mean, when Twitter wasn't around.
Oh.
Well, it wasn't 50 years ago. He's adding years to my age. And frankly, yeah. Well, hold on. We got to do the well, you know what? That one deserves the Iron Man drop.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, so just so that we get this straight, I'm actually the same age as Marco, so I'm not anywhere near 50 yet. Thanks, Joe. I actually log on the website. So maybe, you know what, at this age, at 44 years old, maybe I'm a little of an elder statesman. However, I am younger than Hendo. So you got to give me that right there. I am younger than Hendo. Drop. Thanks. So I have that going for me. Right, guys, let's go into the Ali Act. Because this has been a subject that's been going on, and we've been trying to get into this. And honestly, I'm going to be frank here. I think the best two people to talk about this subject is Joe and Proteus, because I'm not learned on the subject, so I'm going to defer to you guys. Joe, what say you about the Ali Act? I mean, the one thing that we know for a fact is it really going to change? Because at the end of the day, when all the dust is settled, these guys are still works for hire guys. They're independent contractors or they're non-employees. So how much of this is actually going to happen?
Yeah, it's hard to say. And the funny thing that came to mind is that I forgot who mentioned it, but UFC 99, when they were honoring Muhammad Ali with that great tribute video that Dana spoke about, and then like a week later, they hired lobbyists to go against the Ali Act. So I thought that was pretty silly. But you know, I'm not 100% sure. You know, the one thing that I did read is that they would have to open up their books a little bit to, you know, to kind of show what they're paying the athletes, what they're earning. So I think that's the sticking point right there. You know, the UFC doesn't want to open their books for anybody. They might have to with this sale, but as far as the Ali Act, you know, there's so much involved with it. I mean, it can work. It can't work. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, what do you think, Proteus?
Yeah. First of all, the Ali Act that they have in boxing cannot just come straight over to MMA. They are two different animals. There's going to have to be some discussion. There's going to have to be some change to the act. And either the fighters are going to have to come together through this initiation or through the class action lawsuit that's happening. We'll see what happens there. I think all of these things are factors to see if this legislation can come through. Because like you said, Tony, they are independent contractors right now, or that's how they're determined right now. But if this class action lawsuit goes through and they can redefine themselves, then everything changes and the whole world becomes different in the UFC. Also, if the owners of the UFC are no longer Zuffa, then I feel that the new ownership will be more willing to take on an association like every other major sport. And maybe that will help it as well. And I don't know if we will need the Ali Act then, but it is a good idea. It's a good proposal by the gentleman, the senator that wants to put it through. And I agree with him that something needs to change in MMA, and I'm all for the fighters having more rights.
Guys, I do want to ask you this, though, and Joe brought up an interesting point. If the Ali Act actually goes into fruition, guys, the books do have to open up. Now, for the Zuffa or the UFC, not really that big of an issue because they're the ones paying it. But guess what, guys? These independent contractors, these fighters, then have to disclose what they're making, and that includes those hidden bonuses. So I'm not sure they really want that, guys. I think it's the press calling for it more than the fighters calling for it, Joe.
Yeah, and a couple other things. You know, they need somebody, an independent person, to rank the fighters, and they would kind of pretty much help match the matches. I mean, they would need someone separate to do the rankings and someone separate to actually put the matches together. So I'm not sure how that would work with the UFC and the UFC matchmakers. I don't know. What do you say, Proteus?
Yeah, I think that they can keep the matchmakers intact. That just makes more sense. But what they need and what the media is really calling for is an independent ranking system, because as we've seen, the UFC can and will manipulate their ranking. I mean, let's just look at Nate Diaz being removed from the rankings when he was in a contract dispute with the company. That's just ridiculous. That can't happen. You know what I mean? In a fair and even world, and no world is fair and even, but where everybody has enough rights where they can defend themselves, these things need to happen. We need to have people who we actually know who they are, for one, because now we, the ranking systems now, we don't even know who these people are. Even the journalists in the industry don't know who these people are. So something definitely needs to have to change here. And Tony, what was your original question? I'm sorry, we got distracted there.
Do you really think that the athletes, the fighters themselves, want to disclose what they're making? Because I'm pretty sure they don't, guys.
Well, here's the thing, man. If you're a Major League Baseball player and you're making $100,000 a year or $100 million a year, that's getting disclosed, right? So these guys...
There's a big difference, though, because of the...
I understand.
Because of the... Right.
Keep
the
going.
Players
Go ahead.
Association, et cetera, which... And
yep.
The MLB is... NLB, NFL, you name it. They're actually
yep.
associations. They're actually organized associations. One owner going up against another owner. The fight
yep.
community doesn't work that way, guys. It's promotion versus promotion.
Yep.
And it's not even promotion
I know.
Versus promotion, because you don't even have... You can't have Bellator versus UFC. It just doesn't work that way.
No.
Hey, guys... Let's go. We're running out of time, but let's go into, you know, one thing that Joe brought up that I thought was pretty interesting was that, you know, listen, we're the first ones to say we're a podcast about a podcast, right? We're about MMA Junkie, as my Warriors, by the way, are losing 8-0. But one thing that has been interesting in this sort of combat community and has been a lot of what we've seen in terms of the reaction of things, and one thing that we've seen recently with ESPN has been a lot of OJ stuff, guys. And OJ wasn't a fighter, he was an NFL player, he was a running back, but we saw a lot of rioting, we saw a lot of stuff that was interesting. And Joe wanted to chat a little bit about the OJ, you know, 30 on 30.
Yeah, you know, it's I was in college when the trial was going on, man. So this really hits close to home here, man. So I just, you know, my freshman year in college, man, I spent many mornings in the lounge on the couch watching the trial, man. And I'm just fascinated by the story. If you recall, in 1994 in the NBA Finals with my Houston Rockets were playing the New York Knicks, the Bronco chase, you know, took place during Game 3, and that was so. I was so furious, man, because I don't know who O.J. Simpson is. I don't care about, you know, a Bronco chase. I want to see the game. And you know, then that led to the trial. And then, you know, like I said, me watching it every day and following it so closely. And then I just can't get enough of this story. And ESPN 30 for 30 had done a five-part series. I'm just fascinated with the guys. I mean, is it just me, guys, or what?
I was in, so even though Joe claims to be a lot younger than I am, I was actually also in college on my 6-year plan, but I was also in
Whoa.
College at the time. And actually, believe it or not, I was in SoCal at going to Disneyland. I was actually in SoCal when the riots were going on, and I was driving down as the rioting started, and it was pretty frightening, you guys. It was pretty frightening, and this is, you know, I'm not sure I'd like what I saw. The whole thing was really odd, guys, because I even remember being at a Costco when the verdict was read on TVs, and there was this huge audience that was around watching these big-screen TVs. This was at a Costco. I think it was, frankly, I think Price Costco at the time. and people cheering, guys, when the verdict was read, and I was dumbfounded. I couldn't believe that people were cheering for someone that had murdered two people. And to me, that was on any side you want to stand on, it doesn't make a difference. People were murdered. People were killed. Whether it was OJ or not, I think it was, but whether it was OJ or not, guys, people were murdered and people were cheering. And it was really unusual, guys. It was really strange. So I wanted to give my two cents on that because I thought, I actually really liked the miniseries, to be frank. But I think this whole thing is an interesting dichotomy, to say the least.
Yeah, you know, it was funny, you know, sitting in that lounge in college and waiting for the verdict to be read. You know, I'm just looking around at the crowd, and as soon as that verdict is read, you know, all the white people, you know, kind of put their head down crying. All the black people just jump up cheering. And you're right. It was a little weird to see people cheer, but this whole story, man, and it's crazy how the documentary put it. It talked about race relations and, you know, how blacks were treated, how whites were treated. And it's just, you know, it wasn't right. You know, you saw so many stories. And basically people say this was payback for Rodney King. You know, Rodney King was beaten almost to death you know, they had it on camera, so easy victory, easy guilty plea, right? Well, no, they got off, and then there was a riot, and that's, you know, people direct that story to this story. You know, it was, you know, they just said it was payback for you know, all the years and many stories that you know, black people were killed by white cops and just not given the proper punishment. And it's just so much about it, the race relations. I hope you guys check it out. Find the time to check it out, man. It talks about, you know, so many stories from the past, and it's really interesting to me.
I think NWA.
Well, guys, it's another great documentary. Go ahead, Proteus.
Yeah, I said I think NWA said it best at the time, don't you think?
What did you say?
What'd they say?
Oh,
I didn't hear. Wow.
What'd they say? Hello.
Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't hear what he said.
That fell off. I said, I guess NWA said it best at the time, right?
There you go. There you go.
Okay. All right. Somebody got it.
Where's the rim shot? Wow. All right. Well, gentlemen, see, we're already falling asleep at our age, gentlemen. Well, we're gonna wrap up the show, guys. You know, listen, we had technical difficulties, but we made it happen. We're still, you know, we're still ringing it up, guys. So, guys, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. We appreciate everyone that was able to come on the show today and when we had our technical difficulties. And as always, guys, from the man up north, the man who always says, you got change for a loony? Oh, sure. Proteus, following that, Proadoss. And the man down south, the man who we could never get any guests if it wasn't for him slipping him that Chicago 20 in the back, Joe from H-Town. Follow him at JoeDaddy85 and me. By the way, quick shout out to Gigi, who's in the Bay Area, and Hal, who's coming. Love you guys. Hopefully I'll get a chance to see you guys. But for me, the DJ, back in the PD, guys. Follow me at DJ Tony Radio, because Joe will tell you I don't have any followers. And follow us at another MMA cast. And like that, guys, hit it. Wait. We need our one last guy. You know what, guys? I lost the drop. See what happens when you're so late in the game, guys? I lost the drop. All right, guys.
Cold coffee can edit this.
Cold coffee and John Morgan 5.5.
Swing, swing.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday. And like that, we're gone.
Not surprised.